T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
Joe is in Fishers, Indiana, and he is a Bulls fan who wants to defend John Paxson. Joe, thanks for calling. The floor is yours.
I literally took my time, counted up how many times they have scored over 100 points this season and still lost.
Yeah, but this team stinks. Do you know where the Bulls rank in terms of points per game in the NBA?
No.
29th out of 30. Every team in the NBA this year is averaging over 100 points per game.
How's your 100 points look now?
Where's your Messiah now? Yeah, where's your Moses now, Shane?
It's a new league, man. It's a new league.
So what? How far are they from top 10? So if they're 29th, how are they? 19. How far are they from 10?
A total of 19th.
Hang on. I'm just checking your math on that. Yes. I got the same thing.
Okay, I mean, so, again, you...
Chef's 19 response. First caller in Fishers, 19! Nicely done, young man!
Did you put that together yourself, Einstein? What, you got a team of monkeys working around the clock on this?
Come on!
Oh, that's a...
Land the plane! Fishers, Indiana!
I get the same.
That is a really cool thing.
19.
Get off your ass, let's do some math.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for hanging out with us, Mac and Parkins, on The Score on this Monday.
Dewey Finn mixed with a little Steely Dan. Nicely played, as always, Tanny. Shep just had me giggling the other day when that came up. I still laugh thinking about it. The difference between being 29th and 10, well, 19 spots.
That's
about
right.
19, we get the same.
That's right.
Thank you, Fishers.
That's why Shep's here, though. He's here to fact check us.
Yes, and he's good with math compared to us.
Kind of a giggle.
The Elias Shep Bureau never gets anything wrong when it's simple subtraction.
You know that caller that the suburb of Indiana, very, very upscale Fishers, Indiana.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. If you play for the Colts, there's an excellent chance you live in Fishers or Carmel, Indiana. Not Carmel, but Carmel, Indiana. I think Peyton Manning still has his colossal mansion in Carmel. But, yeah, that's where all the big shooters live. Fishers, Carmel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had no
idea. That call came from a very upscale man.
You are my phone a friend for all things Indiana geography, so I would have asked you.
Uh-huh.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit your new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. Talk some Hawks and Bulls here. I'm going to see your squad 1 week from today. I will be in attendance. I didn't know I'm seeing the worst team in the NHL, the Ottawa Senators, but the Hawks deserve your attention.
Absolutely. Well, at least you get to hear O Canada when you go. I mean, it's better than seeing a lousy team from the States. You don't get O Canada.
That's true.
The Hawks have indeed won 7 in a row and looking really good in doing so. They're better offensively than they are defensively. They have been bailed out, and I didn't know if I'd ever arrive at saying this, but they've been bailed out lately by Cam Ward. More often than not, they have given up 40 shots or more in 5 games on this, I think it's 5 games on this 7-game winning streak, and Ward has been there to answer. They're giving up far too many shots. They had a terrific first period against Detroit yesterday, jumped out to a 2-0 lead, both goals courtesy of the Dylan Strome line. That trade is looking like a terrific trade by Stan Bowman. I don't hear anybody complaining about Nick Schmaltz no longer being a part of it, but Strome has got great hands. Goes to the net with authority, and the speed of Dominic Cahoon is just great. And they're kids, and they're going to be here for a long time. So whether they get the 8th seed or not, if you're a Hawks fan, excuse me, you have to feel really good about the future of this team.
the run that they're on right now, this from Chris Kampka at NBC Sports Chicago. Want to take a guess at point leaders in the NHL since January 20th? The top four are all Blackhawks.
I'm not surprised. Patrick Kane has been fantastic yesterday, extending his point streak to 14 games.
Yeah, so Kane at 16, and then Taves, DeBrincat, and Strome all with 14 points apiece since January 20th, and those are the top four point guys in the NHL. Like you said, it's a seven-game winning streak, and to make the playoffs, HockeyReference.com says 14% shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
0.9% chance to win the West, 0.4% chance to win the Cup. So if you were gambling on true odds there and you trusted Hockey Reference's numbers, we should be getting to win the West. We should be getting better than 100-1 odds to win the conference and better than 200-1 to win the Cup.
We bet them today.
Did we?
We bet them. We put $100 down. They win the West. And
okay.
That was 45-1. We got that at 45-1. So if you get in, we got a puncher's chance. No one knows if they're getting in. They keep playing like they have. And it's going to be tough to win tomorrow night in Boston. Boston's the best club they've played during this stretch. They caught Edmonton at the right time. Edmonton has the best player in the league, but they had lost five straight when the Hawks went to Alberta last week. I'm a little worried about the power play. They were 0-2 yesterday afternoon.
Oh, no. Regression's
that is
a mean
absolutely
mug.
Absolutely unacceptable, fellas. And I think, Brandon Saad has been barbecued by Hawks fans, and a lot of it deserved since he returned. The way he has played during this stretch is the Saad we remember from the 2015 team that beat Tampa in the final. There was a good isolation replay yesterday of him hustling near the net after the play, and that line has been very, very good, the Kruger line. Where he runs in front of the net and he just fearlessly goes to the net and the shot comes from the deep slot and he tries to jump the shot and he doesn't make it. It kind of clips him on the hip. But it's that type of hair on fire style that gave Hawks fans reason to love him a few years ago. If he can do that, if he can put that effort out consistently, you got something with this kid and all is not lost. I still think they're better off. They will be much better if they can go out and get Artemi Panarin back next year. So we'll see if that happens. But Mark Lazarus talked about a couple of things today worth noting. The fine Hawks writer from The Athletic. Regarding Saad, he says, for reasons that are, no one can understand, he just doesn't seem to be able to rev it up every time out. And he admits to it. He says he's not Jonathan Taves. He needs that kick in the ass every now and again. And also something that we talked about just recently on this show. And Laz has got his finger on the pulse of the Hawks, but I think he had his head out over his skis a little bit in his look down the road at Alex DeBrincat.
You kind of expected some kind of a sophomore slump from him this year. It's just inevitable. And guys figure out goal scorers and how to defend them. It's been better than he was last year. Last year, remember, he had like a few hat tricks last year. So he scored 28 goals, but they tend to come in bunches. This year, he's just scoring consistently. Like every other game, it seems like he's getting a big goal. He's always in the right spot. He's still, we know how he's not big. We know he's not that fast. He just has this incredible knack for being in the right spot at the right time, finding open ice, and he has such a good shot. I mean, this guy's going to be a 40-goal scorer for a decade. I mean, he is absolutely legitimate. There are some things you just can't teach, and he has that uncanny ability to find open ice and to capitalize on it. And when you're out there playing with playmakers like Patrick Kane and Dylan Strome, guys who can just make these great passes, Eric Gustafson, he's going to be a force in that power play for years. He's doing what Artemi Panarin did. He plants himself in that left spot. The penalty killer's got to go look at everybody else because you can't take your eyes off of Kane. You can't just let Taves and Strome stand unattended at the net. And these guys can thread these passes through the middle, through all that clogged up penalty killing, and then Brinkett's all there wide alone. He's just got to whack it in.
Pencil him in for 400 goals over the next 10 years.
Okay.
That was the key to that.
I'll write it in ink. Just
whack
it in.
We were laughing at
how
we say that sometimes. So you could pencil Anthony Rizzo in for 40 homers a season. Really?
Whack it in.
That's a tall order, whacking it in 40 times in a season. And I agree 100% with his assessment of DeBrincat. But, man, And he didn't say pencil it in. That's me taking it to another level. But he said he should score 40 a year for a decade.
That's a good player.
That would be a hell of a pick if he winds up getting anywhere close to that.
Does the back of the baseball card, does that translate to hockey too?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Because it's always the back of the baseball card all summer when the Cubs are hitting 205 through... partway through June. Yeah. Back of the baseball card says this. Can we put the back of the hockey card in his case and have just put a 40 in his goal column for the next decade?
Just do it. Yeah, pencil him in.
Whack it in.
Whack it in.
Go to your home. Bro.
I felt cheated on the broadcast. We didn't get the national broadcast. We didn't get Tirico.
Of course.
We got our local in, and it wasn't available on NBC Sportsnet. It wasn't available on any of the other extra channels I get with DirecTV. NHL TV didn't have it. I couldn't find it anywhere. And Pat and Eddie are fine. Dale, God, that's a flashback. But I wanted to hear Tirico do Hawks and Red Wings.
Hey, you'll get another chance. It won't be a one-stop thing, but...
Yeah, maybe when the Hawks get to the Western Conference Finals and we've got $4,500 riding on the line for a $100 bet.
Many things I need in sports broadcasting. I don't know if Mike Tirico doing hockey is one of them.
I just wanted to hear his spin on it. Just hear him do it. I've never heard him do a hockey game. I've heard him do a bunch of other things.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard Foley do it.
I'm sure he's going to do a game before the Hawks make the playoffs, though.
Yeah. I can always go search it out if I wanted to.
Yeah, you watch non-Hawks hockey.
But I watched periods 1-3 yesterday as they were happening, and then I watched the first period again this morning, their best period of the day. And although they didn't close it real well the last 90 seconds or so, there were some breakdowns defensively in their own end. And Cam Ward rose to the occasion. He made 43 saves yesterday and was the game's number 3 star, deservedly so.
That's a hell of an effort. They signed Delia, obviously, to the 3-year deal, only paying him $1 million a season. And then Crawford was back in practice, but I don't think anyone's counting on Crawford. And then for the Bulls over the weekend, it was just odd overall, if I was being honest with you, because they got a win on Friday against the Nets, and you hate to see that. All wins at this point just feel so hollow.
No. Don't do that.
In your race to the bottom. But it was the Otto Porter debut, and they had 125 points, and the offense did look really good. Otto Porter is an easy plug-and-play fit, but he's a low-ceiling guy. He is exactly what he's advertised as. A consummate pro who knows where he is in the right spot. He's a small forward. He's a 3-and-D guy. Mm-hmm. He's got a nice shot. Pretty good, not great athleticism.
And he looks like a young Lionel Richie.
Correct. And he makes them better immediately. The problem is you don't want to be better right now because you're so close to the bottom in the race.
Please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore.
That's exactly right. So every time they win, it just feels helpless because then you turn around the next day and you watch.
Yeah, there's nothing to celebrate with a win over the Nets.
Nothing. And because then you're watching Duke, Virginia the next day, or at least aware of it, and you see Zion Williamson having the greatest block I've ever seen in college basketball, flying out of nowhere looking like Superman, and LeBron's in attendance, and there's all these stories about is Jay-Z going to sign him because he goes to the games, or is Rich Paul going to sign him because LeBron's at the games, and there's this guy who's just this supernatural just prize of this class, and you want him in a Bulls uniform because he feels like a guy that people are going to want to play with, and that could go a long way towards changing that reputation that we were talking about popularly with PAX. And then, you know, the Wizards game happens, and it's Otto Porter going up against the Wizards, and it's Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis back here, and Bobby Portis swats the hell out of the ball and flexes at the Bulls bench but says all the right things about the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Jabari Parker said some less than flattering things about the Bulls and Jim Boylan, and Jabari Parker balled out. And I know the guys on the 5 at 5 today with Molly and Hall were asking, like, does it matter, or what do you read into, you know, how Bobby Portis plays for the Wizards? They weren't going to sign him. So it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. They weren't going to pay him $15 million a year.
People still will be curious, though.
He's not going to be better than Markkanen. Markkanen's playing so well right now. He's playing aggressive. He's dropping 30. Like he is playing really well, going to the rim, getting to the line, pulling up for like high percentage threes, like within the flow of the offense threes. Markkanen's playing great basketball right now. The conflict with the Bulls is there's four teams for three spots at the bottom.
You don't want them to win.
And I'll talk about it the rest of the year because I know Pax said to us, he's like, listen, there's a big gap between us and teams in front of us that I don't think that's going to happen. And he's right. They're not really at risk of finishing with the fifth, sixth, or seventh worst record in the league. But there's a huge difference in terms of the downside of finishing with the fourth worst record in the league than the first or second. If you get the first, if you have the worst record in the league, the worst you could pick is fourth. And it's a three-person draft with Zion, Ja Morant, and RJ Barrett, according to all the draft experts. If you got the fourth worst record, you only have a 1.5% less chance of getting the number one pick than the top three, the bottom three teams. But you could fall to as far as eight. So your draft range is significantly different, 1 through 8, if you got the fourth worst record, as opposed to if you actually get the worst record. So you got to lose.
Well, let's do something. Let's do something tonight.
Bulls and Bucks, Giannis in town.
Yeah, and thank you, those of you who have texted. Mike Tirico is doing Hawks and Red Wings in 9 days. Appreciate
Beautiful.
That. I was a little. I'm going to get my wish. I'll get to hear him do hockey. Hawks and Red Wings on the 20th. Let's invest in the Milwaukee Bucks tonight.
Okay, that sounds good.
$100.
$100.
I'm already invested in the Bucks and Giannis tonight. So.
Yeah, he's there's some Greek food left from last week. I noticed today in the refrigerator.
That can't be good.
Sure, it would be good, right?
Octopus ages really well in our refrigerator, especially.
Knows that.
It's like cheese.
I mean, we got it when Thursday. Years.
That sounds right.
I think we got it Thursday of last week. That should be fine.
Okay.
If that refrigerator is up to 40,
yeah, the Euro's probably still good.
Okay. Guys, dig in on some.
I think they're Euros and Dolmatas.
Dolmatas.
Oh,
when I put it in Dolmatas. The fridge, I was shocked. The Dolmatas looked untouched. I thought that was your request.
I had some Dolmatas.
Did you?
Yes. I didn't want to eat all of it, so I had two.
I thought I only ordered one. Maybe they brought two.
That's okay.
Yeah, I had two.
Didn't we have an issue last time that we forgot something? Maybe they're doubling up as a make good.
No, Mac accused them of forgetting the Dolmatas on the air, and they were standing right where his coffee mug is now, directly in front of him.
The kind lady on the other side of the phone when I called said, no, I know exactly where I put it in the bag. It's there. I'm going looking. Sure as hell it's there.
That's exactly right. But, go eat the
so
Greek
I'm
food.
Always for more Greek food, but I still think we should prosper. The Bulls probably feel pretty good about themselves after beating Brooklyn. Milwaukee catch him, just reading their headlines, right? The Bulls got all kinds of ink since then, didn't they? No?
All kinds of ink?
No.
Should we show pot wise, should we just bet against the Bulls money line wise every night the rest of the year?
I'd like to recoup some of the 200 I lost betting their over on season wins.
Danny Roundball.
I know. Being the consummate
Danny
Bulls
homer
I've been forever.
So we want to lay the 11?
That's all it is?
11.5 is what it's at right now.
11.5?
Yeah.
No Nico, unfortunately. God, that could have been great.
Nico. I say yeah.
Okay.
Put 50 on it.
Is there anything?
That's a gamble. That's not an investment.
Is there anything we want to do with Giannis? Plus 375 for a triple-double. Not really much to be gained for a double-double. He's minus 550 to get a double-double.
No, I mean, listen, Giannis still has a real shot at MVP for us. I know James Harden is threatening to have the greatest scoring season in NBA history of anyone not named Wilt Chamberlain, so that could be a problem for our Giannis 5-1 MVP ticket.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
But Giannis is averaging 27, 12.5, 6 on 58% from the floor on the team that has the best record in the NBA. The Bucks have a better record right now today than the Golden State Warriors. So if he gets the one seed and they win 55 plus games and Harden's already won MVP, there's a shot that there's a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance.
Toronto,
you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, Toronto's only a game back, so Milwaukee's got to hang on. But
is he healthy? A texter warning us that he's not a lock to play tonight.
He sat out the last game with, I believe it was knee soreness, but I think he's supposed to play tonight. I thought it was just a one-game precaution, but I have not seen that he's been ruled out either way. I know that Nico has been ruled out, though. So
yeah, maybe we better hang on to our money.
The Bucks are so much better than the Bulls with Giannis.
All right,
yeah, with or without.
Bet it. Bet 50. Just 50? 50. Just 50.
Just 50?
Yeah.
Get a quarter of the preseason bet back tonight.
There we
Bulls
go.
Bank.
Bet unless you want to parlay again. It with all the bottom teams. What other of the bottom teams are in action?
We could just... the problem is you have two of the four worst playing against each other tonight.
Mm.
You get the Knicks-Cavaliers matchup.
Someone's got to win.
When those bums get together. Zane gets combined 26 straight losses or something for the two. One's lost 10 in a row. One's lost 16. I think that works out. So it's tough to go
that
way.
Knicks and Cavs?
Knicks and Cavs. Like, that's, you don't have a feel there.
So, yeah, Knicks have 10 wins. Cavs have 11. Bulls have 13. So in terms of a team passing them, the Cavs are closer. So go Knicks. You need the Knicks tonight.
Yeah, you need the Knicks.
Okay.
And then betting-wise, just trying to see if, like, Phoenix is here. Phoenix is off this evening, so we can't bet against them
or throw
them in the money line.
It's disappointing.
But I was reading a piece on Bet Chicago this morning.
Yeah.
And it was about NBA gambling. And it's the odds makers can't make money lines big enough to steer people away from betting against tanking teams. And it's, okay, risk $900 in order to win 100 or whatever, and people are signing up for it of, hey, you think the Bulls are going to go and knock off Milwaukee in this case? You think that the Knicks are going to go knock off Boston or another good team from the East? People are just making money hand over fist because they're not afraid of the ridiculous numbers.
Yeah, these teams are actively trying to lose, so if you're just taking the money line and not laying a spread, it's not a bad idea.
Well, that would be the only way when you're getting, you know, laying 18 or 20 against those bottom feeders. The best, you know, the most successful sports wagerer I know does almost exclusively money lines, and he has the stomach to bet when it's highly stacked against you.
Big favorites.
Like minus 550. I don't care. It's the Patriots. So I said, so you're willing to lose 550 to win 100. He said, your math is correct, but I'm willing to lose a lot more than that. Okay. We live in different worlds when it comes to sports investments.
Yeah, but hey, he's right. If you get 20% ROI in three hours.
No doubt.
You know, you got to have the stomach for it.
I couldn't watch. I mean, if I were laying those big of odds.
It'd be tough.
Yeah. I would just, it wouldn't be enjoyable.
No. And this is an enhancement. It's
right.
Supposed to be entertainment.
Taking $1,000 moon pounding over a weekend, I can live with. But I mean, when it's $5,000 a game, are you serious?
Yeah, it's a different stratosphere. Woo-hoo. It's a world I'd love to live in. But
yeah, you will.
Maybe one day.
You will. But I keep buying Powerball tickets.
We'll talk to Lawrence in a little over 20 minutes. It's Mac and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I agree that if the circumstances are right, second chance is warranted. The question is, in a particular circumstance, and every situation is different, does that person deserve a second chance? And in this particular situation, we're not anywhere close to that. Ryan himself has said, we're not there yet.
That's Bears chairman George McCaskey in studio with this show about a month or so ago. Bottom of the hour on the Score, he's talking about Kareem Hunt, who today signed with the Cleveland Browns. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Good treasury management is good business, but there's a secret. At many banks, it's cookie cutter and costly. At Lakeside Bank, they custom design programs for each client and save them money. Call Lakeside Bank. Learn the secret to real treasury management. Lakeside Bank, it's about time. Also, for Northwestern basketball, don't miss Coach Collins and the Cats at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this Wednesday when they host Rutgers at 6. Purchase tickets now at nusports.com.
I was hoping the Bears would have signed Kareem Hunt. He's probably real cheap for the Cleveland Browns, so kudos to them for getting him, being first to move on it, and they have the luxury without knowing. I assume they don't know. Maybe they do. But if the suspension is a lengthy one, Cleveland has the luxury of, hey, we don't need him immediately. We have a couple of pretty good running backs here. So if the suspension winds up being 6-8 weeks, if it's a year, they'll wait for him. That's unique for them that they're in that position. I'm sure they'd like to have him join Chubb and the Duke, but if he doesn't, they'll survive without him and probably got him at a bargain basement price.
They did get him at a bargain basement price, though actually because of weird rules within the CBA, he's now signing on a veteran minimum contract instead of his mid-round rookie contract. So in terms of a salary next year,
getting a raise,
he actually gets a raise. Now, not enough of a raise, I don't believe, where it will make up the offset in the salary forfeited from missing the five games from last year and then whatever suspension that Ian Rappaport says is coming this year. So on a per game basis, it actually will be a raise, assuming he plays. My feelings on Kareem Hunt are he would make anybody better. I thought he was going to be a Bear because of how open and candid Matt Nagy was. But instead of going to his former offensive coordinator's team, Matt Nagy, he ends up going to the team that drafted him in John Dorsey, who runs the Cleveland Browns. It surprises me that it happened before the suspension. It also surprises me that he thinks, or his representatives think, it's in his best interest to go home and that his hometown team would take him in. The incident that happened that was on video at that hotel of him pushing, shoving, and kicking that woman while she was on the ground happened at a Cleveland hotel. He grew up in Ohio. He went to Toledo.
Right.
And he just signed with the Cleveland Browns. I don't feel like this is putting Kareem Hunt in the best situation and circumstance to succeed, given what we know about his upbringing.
Right, not like there were a bunch of people who had their arms around him when he was young and keeping him away from that stuff. He ran in some pretty rough traffic.
So that part doesn't feel right to me. And obviously how quickly he's come back morally doesn't feel right. But I balance that with I believe in second chances. If he has learned his lesson, if he is going through the alcohol counseling and the behavioral counseling that they claim that he is, and he's learned the appropriate things from this incident, he's been punished more harshly from the NFL than he has been from the judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most people rationally can say he should never be able to work and apply his craft again just because he happens to be a football player.
Yeah, they do say it, though.
But so, you
those
know,
are the people who look at it as a privilege.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to play in the league.
And I would love to believe that, but I've seen other guys in the NFL. Like, it's just he's never been charged with a crime.
Right.
And that doesn't mean
crime
that he should
be charged with a crime.
It doesn't mean that he should not have been charged with a crime, but he wasn't. So what do you do in that circumstance? His old team fired him. His new team's going to play him after a suspension. He signed a minimum contract with no guarantees. The guy's going to play football again, and he's a really good football player.
Yeah, and if you think there are guys in Lakeview, if you think the Bears' assembly of talent is devoid of a guy like that, you're wrong. He just hasn't been caught yet. I hate to be so cynical, but look at the stats.
It's a societal problem. It's not a sports problem.
But especially considering the nature of that sport, you have a lot of they're paid to be violent. Not all of them have the ability to turn that switch off when they leave the field or the practice facility.
Which certainly doesn't excuse it, but in some instances explains
right.
it.
I'm not trying to excuse it. I just know it exists, and I've talked to a lot of NFLers over the years, and not one of them ever has suggested to me they have a locker room full of choir boys.
Never, of course.
Who haven't had a reason where they could have been arrested for assault.
And so Kareem Hunt, not going to be a Bear. It'll be interesting to see how high of a priority Ryan Pace makes running back. Like I think it's the area where they need to upgrade most other than kicker. And Kareem Hunt was taken in the third round out of Toledo. You've got fourth and fifth round running backs on the squad in Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen right now. So this is a GM who knows how to identify running back talent in the middle rounds. And your first pick isn't until the third round.
Yeah.
So it would not. They're going to bring Jordan Howard back. They'll bring Tariq Cohen back. They're both young and cheap on really cheap rookie deals. My guess is they add another young and cheap running back into the mix so that when Jordan Howard's a free agent next year, they obviously don't pay him, and they've got another guy to upgrade from Tyquan Mazel. Like that's my assumption. My guess is they do this through the draft for a running back. I also wanted to run by you I know you're not interested in the AAF. You called it the most recent acronym football league that will fold, and I'm not really interested in the football either, but I am interested in it existing. And it being viable, because The NFL right now doesn't have something where it can beta test changes in the game. And I love when sports try to push the games forward and change things. In hockey, you've got the AHL. In baseball, you've got minor league baseball. In the NBA, you've got the D-League. In football, you've got a free feeder system of talent in college football, but there's nothing else. But now they've got shared business partners and broadcast rights, and the games are on the NFL Network, and Bill Polian's a founder, and former NFL players are on the advisory board, like Troy Polamalu and Hines Ward. And they rolled out a league that has, among the differences from them and the NFL, a 30-second play clock instead of 40 seconds, no extra points, mandatory two-point conversion attempts, no kickoffs.
You mean no kicked point afters?
No kicked point afters.
Okay.
Yeah, right. No extra points.
Well, right, it's a two-point conversion only. There's no kicked PAT.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So 30-second play clock, no extra points, no kickoffs, mandatory going for two, instant replay, live, mic'd up, on camera, eye in the sky, extra official who goes through the replays as a part of the broadcast. And if you want an onside kick, you've got to go from, I think it's your own 4th and 12 from your own 25 or something like that. And if you convert the 4th and 12, you keep the ball and you keep going. What, if any, of those rules do you like and would you consider in the NFL?
Well, as a ref geek, I'm fascinated. I think most people would be fascinated to hear the conversation that goes on between the guy looking at the replay and the official on the field or somebody back at the league office. I think people would love to be, you know, allowed to get behind the curtain and hear that. I am okay with watching an NFL in which there is no kicked point after where they have to go for two. I like the idea where they are forced to make a decision, and it's made it more interesting since they moved it back to a 33-yard PAT kick. So not always to our advantage in this town.
No, it seems like every team, by the way, in the AAF has a better kicker than the Bears, just based on the box scores over the weekend.
What are the teams in the AAF? What cities have franchises? How many franchises are there?
There's eight cities other than Atlanta. It's all non-NFL cities. I don't remember them all off the top of my head, but it's Atlanta, Memphis, San Antonio.
Birmingham, one of them, I feel like.
Birmingham. So
USFL cities.
It's small markets and non-NFL cities. It's a 40-game, 10-week schedule. And the opening rating was really good on CBS. And then it was now sustainability will be the question, but
when I learned that 8 million people watched the Pro Bowl, I'm not surprised by that. America sure loves his football at football, but don't know if I'll be among them.
That's all right. I don't think I will be either. I don't need to watch a team led by Christian Hackenberg score 0 points like happened over the weekend. But again, I just am interested in different football.
Memphis, 0-for-1 on third down. Hackenberg, under pressure, stumbles and goes down over the 35. So good work by Birmingham getting in there and putting the pressure on him. Second and 10 upcoming. Hackenberg just 1-of-4 for 10 yards. Hackenberg dancing around. Now I've got to get rid of it. Throws it short, incomplete. Hackenberg too high on that one. Incomplete. Third down, looking for Reese Horn. Apologize for the language. That's all him. He knows it.
There it is.
That's all him. He knows it.
Apologize for the language. That's all him. He knows it.
He knows it. I'm telling you. Advents in broadcasting. I like every rule that change that I just read you.
Yeah?
Every single one. No kickoffs, no extra points. Plays are faster, 30 seconds instead of 40. More action. The game goes quicker. Live mic'd instant replay. Go for two. More action. I like all of those rules.
Really? No kickoffs. I would be okay with a reduction in kickoffs, but I think at the start of the game, man, when the building is rocking and the return man is standing at the goal line, that's a pretty cool feel in an NFL building, or even watching a college, wherever you're at, watching on TV. That's just how it starts. I'd hate to see somebody just trot out there and take over first and 10 at their own 25. Now, often they do anyway when the ball's kicked through.
Exactly.
But give us the option.
There's nothing worse in the NFL than touchdown, review, extra point, commercial,
right.
Kickoff
commercial.
Kickoff touchback,
yeah, right,
commercial.
Right.
Like this eliminates that. So I think it's
These kickers have this, that they have figured out a way to not drive the ball so deep in the end zone where it's an easy decision to just stay down. Where they're getting more hang time under it. And sometimes it's even coming up short at the 1 yard line or the 2-3 yard line. And they have no choice but to take it and go.
We'll bring in Lawrence Holmes for Transition coming up on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, Lawrence, Lawrence, Lawrence.
I hear the people talk.
Lawrence Holmes joins us in studio. What's up, buddy?
What is going on, man?
Everything's good in our world. What did you watch in our first weekend of no NFL on Sundays?
Well, I was at Blackhawks yesterday.
All righty. That was a fun show for the first period, at least, for
I had a good time. I was it's always weird when you show up someplace where people aren't expecting you to be. Because you get the business a little bit.
Oh, really?
From people that aren't expecting to see you. So it was fun. I got a little ribbing from the Blackhawks press corps.
Okay.
But that's fine. I don't show up there very often because
I'm sure they were happy to have you.
Yeah, they were. The Blackhawks were super nice about getting me in there because it was one of those things where Saturday I was like, well, I don't really have a lot going on Sunday. And like Saturday morning, I reached out to him and said, look, I'd like to come to the game tomorrow. And they were like, okay. And
good.
I went out and covered the game. And it was a lot of fun to go cover the game.
In your expert opinion, what the hell's wrong with the power play? 0-for-2 yesterday.
Well,
I'm kidding.
What Jeremy Collinson said is that he's happier that his team is scoring goals 5-on-5.
Yes. And that makes sense.
So he'll take that. I will say this. When you're watching from that high up, and I think that's the better view when it comes to hockey than being close. The way Patrick Kane cherry picks, it is spectacular.
Yeah, he's got a skill.
The effort to go, you know what, guys? You guys got it. I'm going to take off this way. Someone get me the puck. And when you get him the puck, then he scores.
I'm glad you mentioned Colleton. I forgot to mention to you, Parkins, his outstanding quote on the health of Corey Crawford, where he talked about he doesn't like to talk to him much. He encourages other people not to always be asking him how he's doing. There's nothing as worse than being asked 35 times a day. He says we're only interested in how he is as a human, as opposed to what?
Well, I think his point.
As opposed to what?
Well, he has experience with this.
I know he does.
And I think
as a human,
as a human being,
as a human.
I think that what he's trying to say is. No one cares about Corey Crawford. We want to make sure that you have a good life. And so that was the other thing that I got yesterday. Hey, Lawrence, since you haven't been here, you should ask him about Crawford.
Was that your question?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I know better because I've already heard the question in previous press conferences.
Right.
But it was kind of like, hey, new guy, why don't you ask Colleton about Crawford?
The media was goading you into trying to do it.
Guess what? Not going to do it.
Did you ask him any questions?
No.
No.
It's not my
just
beat.
Just took up the, well.
It's not my beat, and if I go back, I might ask questions. Like, it would be more of a double back situation for me than asking in a press conference. There's no real reason for me to ask any questions in a press conference with a beat that I think is pretty well served at asking the pertinent questions.
You were there for lucky number 7 yesterday and 8 against Boston tomorrow, hopefully. Judd Surratt, the veteran voice of the Bruins, will check in on our show tomorrow.
Well, that's why the Blackhawks said I have to come back. Like, they were like, oh, well, now you have to come
lucky
back.
Lucky charm.
Of course. But they were poised to be like, don't come back if the Blackhawks streak had been lost, which I'd been totally fine with, too. But it was a good experience.
You'd have been able to shoulder that burden of ending the streak.
Yeah, it could have been my fault. But, I mean, they dominated Detroit from the word go of that one. And then they got a little lazy and a little sloppy.
Yes, they were.
And then, you know, Kane was like smelling that point streak. And he's like, my point streak's going away. I'm gonna take off. Someone get me the puck.
Can't let this Strome line do all the work today.
Well, they have 9 points.
They were terrific.
Pretty good,
man, yesterday.
Pretty good.
What are you doing before Bulls and Bucks?
There's a lot tonight. I'm going to talk about my experience of going to the Blackhawks game. I would like to talk a little bit about the AAF. I would like to talk about Kareem Hunt and why I'm glad the Bears didn't sign him.
Oh, you're glad.
Yeah, it just... Especially like on a 1 year deal, he could be gone for most of that. Who needs that? Like, they don't need it. It's just. Anyway, so that There's a huge game tomorrow. And I never thought that I would say that at this point in the college basketball season. DePaul has a huge game tomorrow.
Marquette.
Number 10, Marquette. DePaul has more wins this season than they've had since 2007.
Wow.
Yeah. They're actually decent. Like
they're
decent.
A tournament team, maybe.
No? I mean, they would have to. I mean, if they win tomorrow, you can start talking about
it. Okay.
Because then you'd have two wins over top 25 teams. But they kind of have to win tomorrow and then stay real hot going into the Big East tournament. But the fact that they could even end up playing postseason basketball has got me excited.
Sure.
That's so, how far it's
fallen, too. Long way to baseball season.
It is a long way to baseball, which is funny because I think that played a big role in the attendance at Blackhawks yesterday.
They've been filling the building.
21,941
yesterday. Yes, their biggest crowd of the year. Had a lot of Red Wings fans drive over.
I had some people tweet me and say it wasn't – the asses in seats, it wasn't quite that, but
– yeah.
Because I saw a bunch of empty seats, and I was like, where are all the people on the 100 level? I'm like, well, can't afford those tickets anymore.
Right. Exactly. I wonder what it'll be tonight for Bulls-Bucks, how many Bucks fans are going to be there.
There's going to be a lot of Bulls fans there because the in-game product other than the Bulls is good.
I was at Bulls-Pelicans last Wednesday, and I know it's not Giannis and the Pelicans are bad and the Bucks are good, but it was as empty as I've ever seen a Bulls regular season game.
Okay.
I would say at least 5,000 no-shows.
I'll keep my eyes open because people still seem to enjoy that, which I get. I get the non-basketball part of it.
At that price, though?
The secondary market's cheap. But Lawrence coming up next. Thanks to Jerry Markbright and Greg Gabriel for joining us today. Nick Shepkowski, Chris Tannehill, fantastic work as always. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
It was great radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.